Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey, BA listeners, and we're back. And this is broadcast to you by the Snowpocalypse of, no, Blizzard 2017, we all remember.
We just wanted to have one last show before we all die.
Yeah,
just apparently. To say goodbye. It's been real. We'll be buried in a foot of snow tomorrow.
Say I know, it. And left.
Any last respects, Tiff?
I just want to say, stay brown, stay beautiful.
I want to say OJ did it, not my president.
Yes. Oh, those are good. Darn it. Now I want to change mine.
People think about their last meals. I think about what I'm going to say to everybody. chance.
What would your last meal be if you had to have a last meal?
Oh, God. It would be like a big old bowl of cereal.
Really?
Is that what... So I don't know if you guys know this about me yet, but I have a cereal addiction. It is something I have been struggling with. I'm serious about it. When I say addiction, like the same way I think people are addicted to crack, alcohol, like that is me and cereal. If there's a box, it calls to me. It'll be consumed, and I've been fighting it my whole life. I was sober for probably a few months, but yeah. In honor of Snowpocalypse. Future husband went to the grocery store for the essentials. What did he come home with? Banana muffins, Reese's Puff cereal.
I can't.
And some ginger beer.
What?
So, yeah, I just broke my own sobriety. I had a cup of Reese's Puff. He left the house for 5 minutes, and I was like, you left me alone with it. So this is on your conscience, not mine. You know what happens. Me and cereal do not. It can't. So anyway, that long story short, that'd be my last meal, probably just a huge-ass bowl of cereal.
Yeah, so yes, Reese's Puffs. I mean, it's weird because I'm not a cereal addict for normal grown people cereal, but give me a fruit, loopy, puffy, chocolatey, peanut buttery foolishness, and I'm like, where's the milk?
Have you, as an adult person, tried to eat Fruity Pebbles?
It's just straight trash. I mean,
it's
there's
disgusting.
Certain
I tried it eating is. It recently, and I was like, ugh, this is like crunchy fruit, like paper. It was disgusting.
Yeah, it is. I mean, but you know, there's some cereals that translate well in adulthood. Apple Jacks, for example.
Oh.
It's still my favorite.
I would tear up some Apple Jacks right now. Not even Apple Jacks. When I was a kid growing up, my mom, we used to get the generic cereal that came in the bag. And it was like Apple Joe's.
Yes, we had Apple Joe's.
I thought that's not what they're actually called. I totally forget what they're called now. But anyway, like Ingles. We had Ingles in Georgia. And like cinnamon O's or something.
Yes.
That shit was delicious. And it was always better than the real stuff because it had way more sugar, I feel like.
There was no regulation.
I know. Cereal tastes not as good. The sugar, like fruit, if you eat Frosted Flakes today, that has about 1/3 of the sugar. I think this is actually true of when we were kids.
Really?
Yeah. That's why I can't do math anymore. All that sugar addled my brain.
Well, what about the fact that back when we were kids, I don't know because I'm older than you, but they used to actually have great toys in cereal. But I'm like, what happened to the awesome toys?
I remember toys in cereal. And then I remember when it switched over to like mail in this box top and you might qualify for a free like.
Everybody became an online marketer. They're like, ask your parent if you can go. No, I don't want that. Give me my toy inside this box. Like literally, I would There was this one toy. It was called the Wacky Wall Walker. Oh my God. It was literally like this jelly mass that they shaped in the shape of like a small octopus, and you threw it against the wall, Mandy, and it crawled down the wall. It was everything.
Wait a second. I think I had some of those. All those ooey gooey toys were very in. Like I had Flubber Goo. I had that Silly Putty, and then there was just straight up goo. It'd be like $8 a like a container, and it was just goop. Why? Why? I wish my. This is why I don't want to have children. I have to buy things like goop and a, like. Why do my parents even? We're way off. Where do we even start? Snowpocalypse? Did you stock up on snacks for the snow? If you guys don't know, if you're not in the Northeast region, we have a giant blizzard hitting us tomorrow. So, everyone's losing their damn minds.
Yeah, I went, I'm not gonna lie. I had already gone food shopping maybe a few days ago. But you know, like I went like normal food shopping. But I was like, there's a difference between normal food shopping and snow food shopping. So I went back this morning and I was like, I need snacks because, you know, you
What is
remember we were
it with the snacks? It's a normal day. Fiance went and got biscuits. He's like, I'm gonna have a bacon cheese biscuit. I'm like, but it's a Tuesday. You don't even eat breakfast during the week. So
I remember we were supposed to have like a blizzard, I don't know, earlier in the winter, and it didn't happen. And people were like, or it happened like it waited, like, you know, it was supposed to happen like 5, and it didn't happen till like midnight. And people were like, so I finished my snacks, what do I do now?
I think people in New York are just as bad as people in Georgia. I used to, people you they give Southerners so much crap because we'll be like all the shelves at Walmart will be empty of all the bottled water and bread. But New Yorkers are the same. The line was outside like around the block at Trader Joe's and Whole Foods and Fairway. Like we can't we I, but I think that we celebrate it more. We're
No,
like
yeah.
this is an excuse to get snacks and liquor and, you know, hole up and like have parties and stuff.
Right? I'm just, I can't, like, it's so crazy because I'm like, I'm all acting like, ooh, I can't wait. Meanwhile, I work from home. This is a literally a normal day for me. So
Yeah,
I'm
nothing
like,
you don't see. I'm staying home tomorrow, but I have to work. As long as the internet is alive, unfortunately, that means I will be working. Fiance Boo works for the government, so they can't take anything home. So he's like, "Wee."
I know, right? Well, my fiance Boo, he's an essential worker, so he's like, great. So
Capital
when
E
everyone else is,
essential.
yeah, so he has to go out and like, because he works for the city and he works for housing, so they consider him an essential worker. He has to come out here and make sure that like the sidewalks are safe, all that kind of stuff. So he's like, whoopee. Meanwhile, he's got like a cold, so you know, right now he's dying in bed. Like, somebody save me!
Is he
First of
gonna
all,
make it?
I bought like, you know, like a liquid, you know, medicine for him. And so I'm reading the back and it says 2 teaspoons every 4 hours. So it comes with a cup. So I pour it. He said, whoa, 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 that's a lot. And I'm like, sir, like a
What?
child. I was like, sir, this is 2 teaspoons. He's like, I don't believe you. So he took the package from me and is reading the documents on the back, the small print, like, I'm like, it's 2 tablespoons, not teaspoons, 2 tablespoons. That's what it says. And then the cup is only like one line. One line says 1 tablespoon, the other one says 2. I'm like, look at, like, we debated for like 5 minutes. I'm like, sir, drink the daggone medicine. He took it like a 5-year-old, like, it's so nasty. I'm like, meanwhile, you're 36.
You gotta just throw it back, man. Throw it back. Don't let it touch your tongue. Just straight back the shooter. That's what you gotta do since I was a
Is
kid.
nasty, but like, you'll feel better. But I just thought, like, I'm like, is he debating me over the. He said, that's too much. That cannot possibly be the serving size. I'm like, what? If you're competent enough to string together that sentence, then you can get up.
I feel like I always make up my own dosages for medicine. I don't know, it's worked out so far. Like and like fiance, he always tells me I take too much. I'm like, no, I can take 3 ibuprofen. It's okay. It's fine.
Yeah.
3 Tylenol is fine. It's a really bad headache. 2 doesn't do it anymore. I feel like I've built up a tolerance or something. Like that's just a suggestion, you know, for the FDA. I got this.
You sound like my friend Linda. She'll be like, well, technically you can really take up to. I'm like, Linda, I'm not trying to die based upon your rudimentary advice. Are you a
The
doctor?
math.
No.
Oh goodness, I have to talk about this before I'm like bursting with it. So I know you probably haven't yet, but I know a lot of people have seen Get Out, the movie.
I did.
You
I
did?
actually
Oh my God, Tiff, look at you. That's probably the first time I've seen a movie that you've also seen. Let's talk about it. Did it not like I don't first of all, I hate scary movies. I
Me too.
don't see them. Oh, good. Yeah, I never, ever, ever see scary movies. I don't want to be. I feel like you shouldn't pay money for someone to scare you, like to make me uncomfortable. Why am I paying for that? But everyone was talking about Get Out, so I felt like I had to see it. It was so good. So good and so, like, good. So creepy.
Yes. And, you know, it was so weird because, like, you, honestly, I hate scary. I didn't want to see it at first. I thought, well, but everyone was, like, in my timeline was like, gotta see it, gotta see it. So I said, okay, I'm going to go. And I went with Superman, and I was pleasantly surprised. It's not scary as much as it is a thriller.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's what I like. Thriller. Mm-hmm. Suspenseful. Yeah. Like, you don't know what the hell is going on.
Because you're like, what is happening? And then you're like, OMG. And then, first of all, someone wrote that you have to watch Get Out to get the full effect in, if possible, in the middle, like at the most hood movie theater that you can watch it in.
Go to Newport Filled Mall, which is where I went. That was amazing.
Yes, because if it's filled with people of color, it is everything. Everything! Oh my God, it was so delightful to be in a room full of people of color who were yelling at the screen, cussing folks out. I told you to leave her alone! This is what you...
Well, for everybody who hasn't seen it yet, you want to like skip forward about 5 minutes because we need to talk about what happened in this movie. It covers race. It covers it was like the most thought-provoking horror suspense movie I think I've seen in a long time. But you know what's funny is so the film, of course, is about a white woman who's dating a black man. I mean, amazing actor. What was his name? He's a British guy. He's a newbie. Just did an amazing performance. So she takes him home to meet her family. What I love about the movie is her family. It would have been really easy for him to like set it in the South and her racist Southern parents. But the girl, her family is like New York upper middle class white people, like liberals, progressives. Like the kind of people who say, I'm hashtag woke, you know, or I have lots of black friends. I voted for Obama. And he makes them like the villains. I thought that was like a brilliant stroke. But anyway, she takes him home and he's like nervous to meet her family. They don't know that he's black yet. And So he finds out slowly that they have been hypnotizing black men, swapping
and a woman,
yes, and stealing their bodies and replacing their brains with the brains of white people, and then so they can be cool and hip and in fashion, and then they keep these new people like pets. It's so fucking crazy. Yeah. Crazy.
And it's so, because you start to recognize, when his name is Chris in the movie. Mm-hmm. And so when Chris goes to meet his girlfriend's parents and family, he notices a gardener and a maid who the maid is a black woman and the gardener's a black man. And they seem very strange. You know, he's like, what is happening? Like, you know how like, well, if you're a person of color in general, there are certain norms that you expect, you know, like certain things that you say that even if you're, you know, from down south or up north, but there's still certain things that, you know, are just part of our culture that I would say a good percentage of people, even if they don't partake in it, you just know like certain phrases that you use. And so he was using them with them and they were like confused. Like, what are you talking about?
He tried to give a black guy a fist bump and he like grabbed his, you know, did like the classic move where you like, you know, you put your hand around it like it's a handshake. Awkward.
Yes. And then I forget what he said to the woman. He said something to her like, whatever it is.
Oh, when he said that he gets a little weirded out when there's so many white people around. And then she starts crying real creepy.
Yes. It was, woo, child. There was so much creepiness to it that I was on the edge of my seat the whole time because I just kept waiting for, like, the thing to happen. And then when they started bidding him off, I was like, oh, hell no.
That almost made me cry. I was like, what's happening? Yeah, they were bidding on him just like in old slave days, like when they would bid on, you know, black slaves. And the whole time they're like touching him and asking him, what kind of sports do you play? You're so strong. It was the movie everyone sort of it was like the acknowledgement that this fake post-racial America is just a bunch of BS. That's what Jordan Peele was putting out there. Like, we ain't past this. But did you know, like, there was, what's funny, I was reading some commentary after, so I live in Jersey City. We went to the theater here. It's a very diverse theater. I feel like everyone in the theater was, we were waiting for the twist. We knew she was up to no good. Like, I knew Allison Williams was not, like, the woke, nice, like, savior of the movie. And, like, I was just waiting for Allison Williams to turn or whatever. But then I read that, like, a lot of people who weren't of color were shocked that she... Like, there was two different reactions, depending on race, to the twist where Allison Williams' character, Rose, the daughter, ends up being in on it with the family. And then at the very end, when the cop car shows up and she's on the ground and she's reaching for him, reaching for the cops, and she's like, help me.
Every black person in the theater was like, oh, damn.
He's about to die. This is how it's going to end. And then, but then when it's when it's Rod, oh my God, Rod.
Oh my God, yo, the whole theater erupted. And, yeah, that's my boy. Like,
first of all, they don't give TSA agents cop cars, but I loved it. It was a nice, the cop car said airport security. I'm like, who did he steal that car from? Thank God for him. Thank God for him. That movie would have been way too stressful without his comic relief.
Yeah, and that's what I liked about it. That Jordan, first of all, the fact that, you know, for those people who don't know, the director, he's like a comedian known for like silliness and like,
if you've seen Key and Peele, that felt like a 2-hour Key and Peele skit, but like way better than anything they've ever done. Yeah.
So it was just, wow. Yeah. Well, yeah. When I saw the cop car, I said, oh damn, they're not going to believe him, but I'm not going to lie. And I'm not even bloodthirsty, but when he started to take the family out at the end, I was like, get him.
That was so satisfying. Like,
everybody was screaming in the theater. And I said, wow, there's a lot of pent up aggression in all of us because we were all so angry.
Yeah.
You know, in like a, you know, of course, in the movie kind of way, but you could say there was all this pent up, like, we have power and control now. Like, we were living it through him, you know?
Well, just the entire first two-thirds of the movie is him with all of the, just facing all these microaggressive things people are saying to him, all these side comments and having to smile through it at that party with all the, her family's friends. And I feel like everyone can relate to that sort of, you know, in small part or large part, like being the only one and walking around having people asking you these questions like, oh, so you're an athlete, right? Or, hey, you know, let me touch your hair, like that kind of stuff, you know? And I think, so I think by the end of the movie, you're just so... It brought up a lot of, I think, a personal experiences for people, too. I mean, obviously, like, I don't think there's been people removing parts of black men and women's brains and, you know, replacing them with their own. But I was just, you know, to get the, I was just listening to a little while ago, just a story I never heard about the origin of gynecology. Okay. There's a statue of a famous surgeon in Central Park who was the father of gynecology. How he developed the techniques that now save women's lives and help us with our reproductive health, he practiced on the bodies of female slaves without anesthesia. He would operate on black women without their consent dozens and dozens of times. There's three women in particular. And so it's not so far-fetched.
Yeah.
Like the themes he explores in the movie, it's not that crazy.
It's not that crazy. Like, remember what happened? Is it the Tuskegee experiment where they gave all of these black men syphilis to see, right? Like, the stage? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not that far-fetched. And these are people who would still be alive today. It's not so far gone that this couldn't have been your grandfather. And so, you know, people like to pretend that, like, oh, you know, you and this racism stuff, it's gone. No, it's not gone. Like, I think that this current election, this past election, has shown that it was never gone. Like people of color have been saying for the longest that it's not gone. It's been here. It has not gone away. And just because people have, you know, masked it in other ways, you know, doesn't mean that it was gone. It's just, the movie was such a, you know, for me, it was a release. Like, afterwards, you know, you leave racially charged movies angry and tight. I'm telling you, like, I watched it in like Hood of Newark. Like, it's who owns it? The basketball player, not Kobe Bryant, a really tall one, Shaq owns a movie theater.
That really tall basketball player, what's his name? You know the one.
Oh, right. So Shaq owns a movie theater because he grew up in Newark and built this really nice movie theater called Cityplex. I happen to like it. Some people are like, I don't like Cityplex.
Is
I
that
like
where we met up that one time?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So that's Cityplex, right? So it was there, and it was the movie theater was full, so much so we had to sit up front. And so it was full. And sometimes I, you know, going to the movies with a bunch of brown folks and it's full, you're like, oh my God, shut up. You know? Yeah. But it was like, honestly, the people were quiet when they needed to be, yelling when they needed to be. And we all left with a pep in our step. When I say people were like, after you, madam.
Oh, man. Well, I think what people like too is, and I liked it too, is that it didn't sanitize. It didn't like give you one white hero. It was like, oh, yeah. No, you thought she was cool? Nah, bruh. She's also like crazy.
Yeah.
There was no white savior. It was Rod from TSA, okay? Rod and Chris. Chris survived. You know, usually in horror films, they'd say the black guy's always first to die. He was the last one to walk out of that film. There was no white hero.
TSA. Yes, that was the savior. I love that. Yeah, great movie. If you haven't seen it and you're just now tuning back in because you don't want to hear the spoilers, go see Get Out.
Bring all your friends of different colors. I feel like everyone should see it. I want my mom to go see it. She probably won't. I'm still trying to get her to see Hidden Figures. She's like, that's not for me. I want to see Sully. All right.
Sully was good, though,
It was, but, you know, different audience, but it was a good film.
Yeah.
Man.
Hey, BA fam. This episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
So before we die, we should probably get on with Brown Breaks and Brown Boosts, right?
And so this is kind of like slowly simmering Brown Break for me because I don't know. I just realized until I saw it today, I don't know where I was, but I saw a bottle of water that said gluten free. Like, what? Yes.
Low calorie diet water.
Yes. So I am so tired of people. Like gluten, first of all, most people do not have gluten allergies. Like you just don't, you know, like, so you don't need to remove it from your diet. Like, so if you have a gluten allergy, you will know, your doctor will let you know because you're going to have these reactions. It's okay. So to all this gluten-free everything, especially stuff that's already gluten-free, like we know, ma'am, like water doesn't come with gluten. There's no need to label it gluten-free. Oh my God.
Unless it was processed in a factory where bread products are there. No, this is your break. Like, you go ahead.
Yeah, so I just want to break from, like, I feel like it's like a badge of honor. I think I read an article once that suburban moms, that it's almost a badge of honor to be able to say, well, you know, Connor has a gluten allergy, a nut allergy, and a cheese dysfunction. So we can only eat milkshakes with, like, soy on Wednesdays. Like, it's almost like a badge of honor to, like, that your child is like riddled with disease.
Well, I mean, we're about to get some hate mail if we talk about parenting, but like, you know, I consider him my little, I guess technically he's my cousin, but we're not even in his, I'm not married in the family yet. But anyway, our cousin's son, who's two, has a bunch of little allergies, and as a baby, but the mom is like, well, if we're gonna try and slowly introduce some things later, because apparently when you're young you're kind of allergic to everything, and if the parent, like if the mom doesn't eat a lot of some foods when she's pregnant, then apparently it can increase the odds of being allergic to stuff. But I do feel like parents know too much now, like we just know too much, and like that makes you afraid to have people try different things. And yeah, I think there's like the an overall like sanitation of like kids' lives now, where I mean, again, I don't have any of my own, but I do feel like I don't envy parents now because there's just way too much information, and like, and if you read too much, everything is bad for kids. And
yeah, I mean, one thing my mom used to tell us, I remember, like, you know, like she's like, go outside and play, get dirty. She was a nurse, and so even when she used to say people overuse antibacterial, she said like. She said people overuse it. Like the only time, like we would, if we were washing the dishes, my mom had regular soap, like Dawn or whatever, and then she had antibacterial soap to wash dishes. And we were only allowed to use the antibacterial soap if we were cleaning up after like cutting up raw chicken or like raw meat. She was like, other than that, she said, you cannot get rid of all bacteria, then you do not build an immunity to it, and then you're susceptible to sickness even more so. So she was like really big on like, you know, you don't. You can be clean. It doesn't have to be bacteria free, because not all bacteria is terrible and bad for you. And I just feel like you said, there's this over sanitization. Is that a word?
Yeah.
And sanitizing, right? And so I just like, I'm so sick of everything. Is, you know, it's gluten free. You know, it's gluten free. You're like, girl, do you need to be gluten free? Because a minute ago you were eating gluten. You didn't even know what gluten was. Now everything's gluten free. They're like, you know, this. You know, burrito filled with everything else that's terrible for you is gluten free though. You're like, well, what does that mean? Yeah, so I'm just like over it, and I'm taking a brown break, not necessarily from gluten free, but just from everything having to have this random label for a small sector of the population that already knows they can't have gluten. The rest of y'all are fine.
I do love that the water said gluten. I've never seen that before. Well, real quick, I'll say two of my best friends and my bridesmaids do have gluten allergies. So one of them is severely has a gluten allergy where like, and it's always me who screws the things up. So we have this camping trip every year and glamping, and we don't like stay in tents most of the time. And like this year, I mean, every year I do something stupid and I mess up something and she can't eat with it or whatever, because she's so severely allergic to gluten that if you cook like a grilled cheese in one pan, she can no longer eat anything out of that pan because the residue from the gluten is in the pan. Like, it is serious, and she gets very, very ill, and she's been tested and all that. And of course, like last year, I was cooking like breakfast, and I was like, dude, I'm gonna warm up my tortilla and put it on my poor Diana's gluten-free like pristine pan. I had to like buy her new pans. It was a whole ordeal. And then my other friend doesn't have a gluten allergy, but if you stop eating gluten, and I've discovered this too with my lactose intolerance, as soon as I stopped eating cheese, I made myself even more allergic to it. So yes, before I could sneak a little bit here or there, now I'm just screwed. Like, I'm too sensitive to it.
If you take the gluten all the way out, it reintroducing it. If like, let's just say you just take it out because you're like, oh, it's better for me, although you don't have the allergy. Reintroducing it is very difficult. I've heard that. That's why I'm like, I don't subscribe to like, well, girl, unless you really are lactose intolerant or what. I'm not saying that, you know, if you're like vegan or whatever, but just know that if you're going to take the gluten out, then bringing it back in is going to be difficult without feeling sick.
I also think if you like some people who say they're gluten free, they like have a salad like, oh, I'm being gluten free today, but tomorrow I'll have bread. If you're really if like you're like my friend Diana, bless her heart, it is not a fun life. Like, it is not fun to not be able to eat anything. She'll just show up with like a bag of peanut M&Ms and she's like, this is my dinner because there's no gluten free. There's, you know, she can't eat at restaurants. We'll go out and eat delicious brunches and she's like, I'll just eat these nuts. You know, it's not a fun life, but I totally get it. Gluten free water is redonkulous.
Redonkulous. Yes. I'm like, what? Ma'am, doesn't it come gluten-free? Are you people injecting gluten into their water? Like, what happened?
Well, I'm going to do a brown boost this week. I could go either way because I'm 3 weeks away from the big W day. And I kind of lost my GD mind last week. Like, I reached the point of, like, sanity breakage between work and, like, wedding stuff and... You know, I'm up until this point, I've been really like lucky. The wedding planning has been going fine. We're not going broke. Everything's cool. It's all working out. But this week was the week when everyone decided to start bothering me, and there was guest list drama, and one cousin didn't feel like her boyfriend was invited, and it was a whole ordeal. And all of a sudden, I'm getting calls from my mother, who heard it from my aunt, who heard it from my uncle, who heard it from his daughter, and like, it's just crazy family stuff. But And then, you know, just, you know, work has been insane because I'll be gone 2 weeks. And so I've been trying to plan ahead for all of April. But so I'm going to take the negative and turn it into a boost. So the only reason I survived last week were two things. One, Cabernet Sauvignon. Thank you very much. And two was I started this group. We randomly, I don't know how, I think someone, you know, we went to a baby shower together and then a bunch of my girlfriends ended up on a group text together, which could be the worst thing ever when you're on a group text and you just get tired of it because it's always pinging and you don't want to be involved or whatever. But this group text with all like these five or six women and I think all but two of us have small children. And anyway, we just during the week, we just like started texting and like opening up about all we were going through and like griping and like venting. And I really felt like they dug, like it helped me get out of my hole of like deep, dark ickiness. So in that moment, I've never felt so strong. I didn't say it because I didn't want to be weird. But I was like, I understand how important it is in this moment to have girlfriends in your life because being a woman is so freaking hard sometimes. And this week I'm like, this is not fair. It is so freaking hard. I've got to look good for the wedding. I've got to worry about my hair. I've got to watch what I eat. I've got to be a badass at work. I've got to manage crazy colleagues. I've got to deal with all this crap from the wedding. And like, you know, they're never blowing up the man's phone when there's issues with the wedding. It's always, you know, the woman who gets all the questions. And like, and then you got to cook and you got to clean and you got to like be, you know, presentable. And I could go on and on. It just really felt like everything this week was just like the world was just screaming like you're a woman and that just means we're just going to dump on you, you know? So I just wanted to say to my girlfriends who probably don't know how much they help me just listening and letting me vent. And we all just kind of like let each other vent. And, you know, they were complaining because, you know, one of the husbands mixed the baby formula wrong. And we all were like, yeah, we clean off a lot of pee off the toilet seat. That's crazy. And just that little like bit of release was really nice. And also the wine helped, but yeah, that was, it was rough. I'm not going to lie. This week I'm determined to like, I've been to three dance classes. I went to dance class Friday, Saturday, and Sunday because that's the only thing I feel like I can do besides. I was like, I can't just keep drinking. So I went to dance class to like de-stress and that helped. But I'm really like, I don't want to go nuts. It's not a good look. All right, we don't have much time before the world ends, so let's move on.
Questions. So it is tips, man. Anybody have some Q's they need some A's for? Mm-hmm. I like that.
Okay. I liked it too. Oh, real quick, I need to tell you what I watched last week for the first time ever. Thank you for being a friend. My first time ever watching The Golden Girls, like sitting through an episode. It was probably one of the highlights of the week. It was a very bad week.
Yes! Welcome into
the show. That show is freaking hilarious.
So wait, who is your favorite?
Ruth is the shade queen. Like so much. Is that her name?
You have to call them by their, I'm like Ruth. You got to call them by their like stage name.
Tall, skinny, old, the tall one.
Oh, Dorothy, the shade queen. Okay, Dorothy.
Yeah, is her nickname Ruth? I feel like they called her Ruth. Dorothy is the shade queen.
Yes.
Every remark is sarcastic and fabulous. But I want to know, where did the gay son that was in first episode go? He like disappeared.
No, yeah, he didn't. Like they honestly, you'll see as you start to watch more. They tackled a lot of things that you're like, really, back at this time. Yeah. Like they tackled transgender back then.
Did they really? They tackled,
yeah,
I haven't gone. I watched the first three, I think.
Yeah, so that I think they brought him on, and then they were like, eh. I guess, I don't know, he didn't test well or whatever, but yeah, so you won't see him, like, again. I think he was, like, on for an episode or two, and they were, like, it didn't really, like, resonate with the audience. They really, because I guess it was mostly women watching, and they love the friendship. Like, that's what really made women come in and connect. So Blanche is a slut. Like, everybody loves Blanche, right? So that's the one. You're like, Blanche, another man.
So she's Betty White.
Right, Rose is Betty White, right? She's the dumb one. Hilarious. And
Yeah,
then
she is kind of
Sophia,
silly.
the old mom, she's the older one. The small little
Dorothy's mom, right? Yeah.
yeah, she is tremendous. She is so like you see exactly where Dorothy got her shade from. I mean, I cannot wait. Mandy, like I Golden Girls is everything. Like if things are not going right, I'm overwhelmed. I'm just like I can't live anymore. Golden Girls will bring me right out of that funk. It is everything.
It's hilarious. I just want to let you know I took your recommendation. I watched it. Good stuff. It's on Hulu. Catch up. Get with the picture, you guys. If I can do it,
You
you
want
can
me to
do
catch
it.
up? Me too late, Mandy.
I'm like 3 decades late. Sorry about it. But now we'll get all the inside jokes. Okay, questions. Business. We have 2 questions today that I have selected. This
So
will
if you have
obviously
questions,
be what?
send it for the, if they have questions, where can they send it?
Oh, you can. Well, since the world is ending tomorrow, you can just address those to like heaven, Brown Ambition in the Sky. No, brownambitionpodcast.com. Go there and click the tab Ask Us Anything. You can send it, it comes right to our inbox. But if you don't trust the internet, then you can just go email us directly at brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com. And we do get all your questions. We may not get to all of them on the show because we only have limited time. But I do keep track of them and sometimes I answer them personally. So yeah, brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com or the website brownambitionpodcast.com. And now I've lost my questions here. Okay, here they are. Okay, number one. This is from Avi. I think I said that right, or Ave. Avi. Currently, I have over $20,000 in credit card debt across 3 credit cards. One has 12,000 something, the other one has 4,000, and the last one has 3,000. At the same time, she says, I have over 26,000 in savings across different accounts dedicated to different reasons. One savings account has a little over $11,000, which I'm going to use for a down payment when I decide to buy a car. Right now, I do not have a car payment, and I'm trying to keep it that way for as long as I can, driving in a 1998 Toyota.
Ooh,
Tiffany,
girl, me and you are twins
you
almost.
can relate.
But I'm fancier. I have a 99, so I'm fancier.
Hey. The other 2 accounts are for travel slash fun and emergencies. I've been thinking about paying off my debt with my savings, but I'm very afraid to do so. I like having the savings in case something happens, but then I think about how much more I could save if I got rid of the debt. What do you think? Should I use my savings to pay off my debt? And if so, how do I go about doing that without using too much of my savings? Excellent
So, because
question.
it is an excellent question. And she's in a unique position. Normally, I tell people definitely pay off the one that is the lowest. But because she actually has enough to cover it all, and I'm not saying she should use it to cover it all, what I would say is which credit card is costing you the most, meaning which credit card has the highest interest rate. And at the very least, get rid of that one, pay that one off. So at least, you know, so maybe it's a $3,000 one, just pay off the three. Maybe it's the $12,000, then pay that one off.
Probably is a $12,000 one.
Yeah, I know, right?
Even if you have
Especially.
perfect credit, I have a great credit score. Even on my best credit card, my interest rate is still like 16%.
Really?
Yep.
My interest rate on my best credit card, that's because I locked it in when I got it. They had some rare promotion where if you're never late and never this and never that, my lowest credit card, my interest rate is like 5 point something percent.
Wow, when did you get that? Must have been years ago.
Yeah, years ago. Like this is like when like it had to be almost like 10 years ago. But I locked
Yeah.
in that rate, but there were all these stipulations that went with it and I was able to lock it in. And so and then my other one, my oldest credit card, that interest rate is like 9%.
I
That's
have
my
one of
highest.
those too. I'm just like, just in case, I'll keep it. But
Yeah.
there's no ways that she's saving money by not paying. It's such a
Yeah.
what I really res what really I relate to with her with Avi is that is the the psychological factor here that she doesn't want to get rid of her savings because she's worked so hard, but logically it doesn't make sense to keep your money and hoard it in savings where you're probably not earning more than point, you know, one like you're probably not earning more than a 1%. I think that's the best rate you can get, maybe 1.05%. I mean, you're spending so much more in interest, like unless, and she doesn't mention her interest rates, but let's assume that they, you know, none, she's not having, all this is on interest-bearing credit cards. Like logically, it doesn't make sense. Psychologically, I can understand why it's so hard. Like I just got a pretty sizable tax refund, and we had our call with our financial planner last week, And I was thinking, oh yes, this is going to go right back in the bank because we're saved. We just, you know, spent this money on the wedding, and that's, this will cover so much, and we can start replenishing. And then fiance boo was like, maybe we should put this on the car pay, the car loan, because we paid for the car half cash and we still had about half the loan left. And I was immediately, I was like, but it's mine and I want to put it in savings. my refund, why are you taking it from me? But then the planner was like, well, you know, I mean, our car loan is what, 3%? It's not 2.7 something percent. It's not very high, but it's still three times as high as what I'm getting even in my Ally account, you know, almost. So they convinced me I'm not putting the entire refund toward the car loan. My justification for not putting it all toward the car loan was that, well, you know, if something terrible happens, we can't, like, I don't feel like a car is an investment. Like, you can sell it, I guess, but it's always depreciating. So for me, I'm not in a huge hurry to, like, pay it off. It's a low interest. So we're going to put a chunk toward the car. I got talked into it. But to help me sleep at night, we're putting a little bit in savings too.
Good.
And I feel like maybe some sort of hybrid approach for her might be better.
Because, I mean, even though you could be like, well, girl, you'll still have $6,000 saved, it's hard for people to you know, adjust to that difference from having $26,000 to having six. So I would, so either, this is what I would say, either you pay off the two smaller ones or pay off the larger one, whichever the interest rate, whichever has the highest interest rate. So either you're paying like whatever it is, like what, $8,000, or you're paying $12,000. And then from there, you could pay down the other one systematically if that makes you feel better. But that's what I would do. So save some, but definitely pay off some, because it's costing you money to save. Like, that's crazy. You're losing money saving, and it doesn't make sense to do it that way.
And I think also, too, you have to understand when you've saved enough, which might be hard for people. I'm a hoarder with savings. I'm like, I'll never have enough.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, you have $26,000. You have probably more than enough to cover 6 months of living expenses and enough for your down payment. Maybe, you know, the travel fund, you can take like a domestic travel trip or something. Yeah. It sounds like you have plenty. So maybe stop saving as much as you've been saving and start putting aggressively everything you can toward paying down your debts. You know, take a little chunk, pay off that credit card or two credit cards or whatever, and then just stop saving for a little while, because you've got enough in liquid savings for if anything happened to, you know, God forbid something happens and you need money, you're covered. Take this time and start putting everything you can toward your debt that you've been putting toward savings now. And just think of that as it, just try and change the way that you think about paying down your debt. Don't think of it as losing money. You're saving money by paying off that debt. It's just a matter of like rewriting, like rewiring your brain around saving and spending.
Yeah.
Excellent question.
Yeah, it was a good question.
All right. Next question is from Dominique. She says, I love the podcast. Thank you. I'm almost 5 years out of law school, and like many newish lawyers, I have a mortgage on my brain. I don't know what she means on my brain. I have a mortgage totaling over $200,000. Oh, she means student loans. I have a mortgage on my brain. That's clever.
Oh, I get it.
I didn't get it.
That must be that lawyer so smart. Because we were like, what? I was like,
I'm like,
is she thinking about a mortgage on her brain? Like in her thoughts?
She means she has over $200,000 of student loan debt from law school. Got it. I'm with you, girl. I have worked for the government for the last 4.5 years. My position qualifies me for public student loan forgiveness, which requires a total of 10 years in public service. So I'm almost halfway there. My term position with my current employer is ending, and I'm trying to figure out whether I should stay in the government to get my loans forgiven or work for a big private firm and make a salary that will allow me to pay my loans back in approximately 8 years. While it may seem like an obvious decision to stay in government to get my loans forgiven, I ultimately want to work in private practice, and the transition to private practice after 10 years in government can be extremely difficult. I would really appreciate your perspectives. Miss Dominique. I know what I'm going to say.
I mean, of course, my first reaction was like, girl, you better get your loans forgiven. But then, so this is what I would probably do. And this is what I used to tell like my best friend, when she would always be like, oh, should I go for this job or this job? I'm not sure. I'm like, girl, have you applied and been offered? So I would say before you make a decision, about to see which, you know, if the money, because what if you apply and then the offer is not, does not make sense financially? Like, so I would see, like, you're assuming that, you know, you're going to get a job in private and that the private money is going to be enough. So there's no harm in, and let's see, because if it is going to be enough, then I would say make that move. Let the money make the decision for you. And then if it doesn't really make sense, is there things you could do on the side? So let's just say you work for government. Are there things that you can do to still keep your foot in the private door if the money doesn't make sense to make that switch?
If that's what I would say. Yeah. You know, with fiance, he works for the government, and we've talked about this before. He's like, I could make double my salary if I was in the private sector, probably. But working in the government is super tempting because there's so many sweet benefits. He's got an awesome pension. Like, who has a pension? Who, like, our age has pensions anymore? He will get his student loans forgiven eventually, his federal student loans. There's great job security. Once you're in, you're kind of in. And we, so I completely, like, can, the, like, the conundrum here, like, her indecisiveness, I completely understand what she's going through. In terms of public student loan forgiveness, one thing I'll say is do the math, because sometimes you're not, well, first of all, $200,000 is a lot of student loan debt. I'm not sure if all that is federal loan debt. And when we talk about public student loan forgiveness, we're only talking about federal loan debt. So how much do you really stand to get forgiven? A lot of people I know who are have law degrees have a lot of private debt, and that private debt won't be included in this public student loan forgiveness program, first and foremost. Right. So how much are you really going to be saving? You'll still probably be left with debt, even if your loans are forgiven. And I totally agree with Tiffany. Like, you need to actually see on paper what you can stand to make in the private sector. Maybe there's some sweet sign-on bonus that could help you take out a chunk of your loans. You know, I need to give my little baby brother a shout out real quick, though, because he graduated college in May with $30,000 in student loan debt. He has zero debt today. It's been less than a year. Well, that's not true. He graduated over dang, wait, he's old. Oh no, time's moving too fast. He graduated, okay. Sorry. Okay, 2 years ago he graduated, but still amazing. So 2 years ago he graduated with $30,000 student loan debt. He just made his last payment with the bonus check last month. And the reason he was able to do that is because he went from college and took a good paying job in sales that came with great potential to earn bonuses. And that he has a relatively normal, like, base salary, but it was the potential to earn all these bonuses and commissions. And he's been kicking ass and putting down, you know, paying off his loans along the way. And I was like, Alex, they could fire you tomorrow and you would have just gotten such a huge return on your investment for that time you spent in that job. Because it gave you the financial ability to pay off your student loan debt.
And there's nothing like, so you see, there's no right or wrong. It really just kind of, like, depends on, like, what will the market bear and where does it make sense? So.
And it's tough out there being a lawyer right now. It's hard to find jobs. Definitely, I feel like when you have a, I say don't stop looking, like be out there, be letting people know that you're looking for work in the private sector. Just put that message out there because you never know what will come your way. Don't, it doesn't have to be like an either or right now. Like, you can still put feelers out and be shopping around for other work until you find that really sweet offer. In the meantime, what?
Yeah, collect your year. You're right. Like, shop around. I like that. Till she finds that sweet offer that makes sense to jump public ship, you know?
In the meantime, like you said, you're working toward, you know, you're serving the country, which is awesome. And then you're working toward your public student loan forgiveness, which is also awesome. So you really, like, you're in a good place.
Yeah.
I think it's just going to depend on how sweet that private sector job offer is. At the end of the day, you kind of have to do what, you know, works best for you and your dollars. But do the math, find out how much that debt's actually federal and how much you can stand to get forgiven after 10 years.
Yeah.
Good questions today. And again, I said good questions today.
I know. You guys have, you know, really good questions.
I'm really glad I'm not alone. I have such a weird, like, mental block when it comes to saving money and, like, paying down things. I don't know. It's taken me a while.
I'm realizing I took in my Literature Academy, you know, we just closed registration. But last Sunday or Sunday before last, every Sunday we have something called Ask the Expert. And Mandy, you have to come on. We have Ask the Expert because they like love you anyway. They're like, where's Mandra?
I will come on. Let me know.
And so every Sunday we have Ask the Expert, and then I have one of my friends who's dope and is an expert in a specific field come on and just do a live Q&A. It's fun and loose. And so I had my friend Kara of the Frugal Feminista. She came on and she talked about your emotional and mental state around money. I mean, she almost had all of us crying. Like, it was so good because she really talked about, like, why do you make the choice that you make? I did not realize, like, you know, how I have my old car and I make a joke out of it. But she was really like, Tiffany, why? Like, honestly, why do you, like, you know, the car is no longer even really safe. Like, why? She said, especially women of color, we tend to carry this thing around with us, like a badge of honor of like, I don't treat myself. I don't do for myself. Like it's a badge of honor. And we're rewarded for like, yeah, girl, don't do anything good for yourself. And I'm like, wait, is that what I'm doing? And she was like, you know, what is it that you tell yourself why you don't really spend? And I said, well, I just said, I don't want to be irresponsible. And she said, Tiffany, have you ever been an irresponsible spender? And I can honestly say Mandy, outside of maybe when I was like 15 and I got my first job, never, not in my 20s, not even during the recession. I was able to live off no income for 2 years because of my saving habits. So I've never been irresponsible with spending. So she's like, so why this fear? Because that's not you. That she said something so powerful. She said, spending is not irresponsible. Spending irresponsibly is irresponsible. And she was like, and I'm like, so she's like, I don't know where you got that messaging from, but you have to ask yourself, you know, why, and to let that go. Because now you're holding yourself back from like basic. I mean, if I tell you how much I made during the Academy launch, you know, I'm thinking like, oh, you know, we'll make pretty good money, you know, because the Academy is less than $20 a month. And even then it was on sale the whole time. So no one paid more than like $16 or $17 for a monthly subscription. And we keep it really low on purpose because I want people to have access. So I'm thinking like, oh, you know, we'll do fine. No, Mandy, I mean, I made just under $250,000 in 10 days. Like, so why the hell?
But even before that, I was thinking, why is she driving this clunker? I've seen it in person. It doesn't make any sense.
I don't know.
And can you please get a new car? Brown Ambition, please tell Tiffany to get a new car.
It was giving me like anxiety of thinking of like going to buy a car. It's so crazy because if you were to say, you know, your sister needs a car, can you buy her one? I'd say, okay. Your mom needs a car, okay. Superman, okay. But when it comes to me, I'm always like, well, I don't really like, it's not a need. I don't really need it. I don't. And so really like working past that, because it's, I didn't think it was a problem until she really kind of made me lay it on the line. And I thought, wow, what? And so here's an activity for anybody who might be going or not, or wondering if they have an issue with finance, because I didn't think I had an issue with money. And she said, you know, list anywhere from 5 to 10 of your money thoughts, like, you know, spending is irresponsible, whatever it is, the things you tell yourself over and over. And then next to those things, write down whether this is a positive money thought or a negative money thought, to kind of see, like, gauge where you are as the way you think about money. And then really rewording the negative money thoughts. Like, for me, I said spending is irresponsible. But really, it should be spending irresponsibly is irresponsible. So I'm learning to reword my money thoughts and mantras that I've been repeating to myself and that have kept me here. Because, man, I'm like so afraid that if I buy a car, but what if nobody likes the Budgetista anymore and my business closed down? Like, how will I pay rent? How would I? Meanwhile, I used to make $35,000 a year. I've got enough money that I can not work for like 6 years. But, and I don't know why. And so, yeah, so it was just really powerful. And it just goes to show you, just, you sometimes you think things are so small. I thought, like, you know, it was kind of funny that I didn't get a car, but I'm realizing it really isn't. Like, there's a reason that I'm holding it back from myself, and why I would never do that to anybody that I cared about, but I do that to myself. And I'm like, okay, I have to break past this. And yeah, I don't even know where that came from randomly, but it just hit me, like thinking about you coming on Ask the Expert and how that particular Ask the Expert was so powerful, not just for me, but so many of us watching it, because so many women do that. You know, we people talk about overspending. People don't talk about the underspenders. Mm-hmm. That's detrimental, you know?
It's like there's so many different, I mean, if you've ever gone to like a therapist or anything like that. Even in couples therapy, we've been discussing finances, and it's all interrelated. Your relationship mm-hmm. with money has a lot to do with your, you know, your childhood. And like, it sounds corny and cliche, but it legitimately does. I, you know, we've been talking about our childhoods, and I'm like, oh, so that's why this and that. And you think you're a grown adult and you should be over, you can overcome those things, but you're always sort of carrying around those perceptions and that mentality and like the negativity you associate with money in certain ways. I'm not irresponsible, but I am a I'm a impulsive spender sometimes. When I was a kid growing up, my mom would be the first to be like, you deserve it, just treat yourself, like, you know, be really like, it was almost like you it's like when you crash diet and you hold everything back from yourselves, and then you binge on like a box of cereal. Not that I'm speaking from experience or anything like that, but like, I, you know, I obsess about saving. I obsess. And then I'm just like so rigid. And then I'm like, I'm going to go to Nordstrom online and just online shop. And I'm going to go and like binge on shopping for 2 days and have all these boxes show up at my front door. And this happens to me. I have these crazy crazy rules I impose on myself that then make me like lash out later on and like binge in different ways. And lately it's like binging on shopping because I've been like holding myself back for so long, saving. I would love to talk more about and explore, maybe have Frugal Feminista, what's her name, Frugal Feminista,
she honestly, that would be awesome. It was,
can
so
I just I add like, Feminista to her name, or
No, it is. The Frugal Feminist, okay. Because she's okay. About women, like, you know, like empowerment for women, and like, you know, really exploring like, you know, your why and how to let go of these things that we told ourselves. So yeah, I think that she would be awesome, because I'm still like she still calls to check on me. She's like, Tiffany, have you made the appointment to go see a car? Have you made? I'm like, not yet. She's like, okay, next week I'm calling again. I'm like, okay. And so like just breaking through and being like, she said something really good for me to start. She said, purchase something under $100 without thought. Like, don't like, oh, no, it's cute, you like it, get it. She was like, $100, because you know, that's a threshold that you should be able to break past. $100 is clearly not going to do anything to any of the money that you have saved. You're going to just get something that's $100 around that range, and you're not going to, and you're going to see the world did not crumble because you bought a $100 item.
You need some help. I can teach you my ways.
She was like, I mean, I need some things if you want to. No, but I know it's so heavy. So I want to end with a lighthearted win, which I think that everyone has seen this viral video. And
it's going to be the same as mine. Fine. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, no, well, we can do a joint win. Okay. So let's set the stage, right? BBC News. Correct, Mandy?
Yes. I so identify with this man.
So I would say 40-ish, right? In mid-40s.
Mid-40s.
Yep, white gentleman, very proper, you know.
Business suit and tie.
Yeah.
In a home office.
Yes, getting interviewed about North Korea, very serious business. Right. BBC, international, well-known, well-respected media outlet. So said white middle-aged gentleman, you know, very proper, is speaking. And the door creaks open. And what happens?
I just started picturing it again. I've watched it so many times. I don't even have to watch it again because I have it. I can tell you how many times she moves her elbows up and down. She's doing like the funky chicken. She had glasses on and a yellow sweater.
Yes. Curly brown hair. So his daughter, I think she was about 2 years old.
Yeah.
The door's not locked. She opens the door. It creaks open. And what you see is this little cute little girl with curly brown hair and a bright yellow sweater and
zero
like glass
to give.
Zero. And she does a Dora the Explorer. Like, I can't even, I'm trying to think of the arm. Like, she did like an arm pump, like, you see me. You like arms up and down. Like, she did a little jig coming into the room, like, ah. Daddy's on TV, me too. And what's so hilarious is that he is in the middle of explaining some serious business with North Korea and does not hear her, does not know she's behind him while she is getting it in for like a good maybe like 5 seconds. So she comes right behind him, and the anchor has to tell him, I think one of your children has entered the room. He doesn't even look because he knows all hell is gonna break loose. He instead extends his hand, puts it on her chest, and says, "Not right now," like with his energy.
But
And
even
she
before, and then the other one comes in the door in the little walker.
I thought, is this gonna be real? I was like, this has to be fake. This has to be fake. So then when all of that wasn't bad enough. So she tries to, like, if you watch carefully, she tries to loop her arm around him, like, "Hey, Daddy," I find out later that that's the room that he Skypes his parents. So she's used to grandma and grandpa being on the screen.
Oh, is that
So
true? Okay.
yeah. So she was like, you know, heard voices. It was like, "Oh, grandma and grandpa, this is what we do. We talk to them." So she comes in and tries to loop her hand around his arm, and like he pushes her back. Meanwhile, doesn't leave. She instead leans back on, like, I guess it's a bed cover,
It's a
and chills.
bed. It's a
Yeah.
bed covered in books that he's carefully adorned to make it look like it's part of an office. It's so clearly a bedroom.
So she leans there, like, I mean, I'm a fall back, but I ain't going nowhere. Then baby comes into the room in a walker, a one, a few, and hilarious comes in, like, I heard there's a party. This baby rolled up in the room like a G, like, hey, it was hilarious.
Big
I don't know
sister's
how.
in here. She called me. She texted me. Said I should come down.
There's a party
So I'm
going on.
here.
Yes. And then just when it could not get any more delicious, frantic, another, she actually seemed younger than middle age, but I would say she looked like in her 30s, but I'm guessing she's probably similar age to her husband. Frantic woman runs in, slight Asian woman runs in. If you look carefully, Mandy, her pants are slightly down. Clearly was on the toilet. Clearly
Oh,
was.
okay. I didn't analyze. Okay, I thought I analyzed every aspect of that video.
I know that. I know that run because that is the. I have been, when I was a preschool teacher, I have been there where I'm like, I just need 1 minute to pee, just 1 minute. And then you hear something crash, even though there's another teacher in the room with the kids, but one teacher cannot possibly watch all of them. You know, so you try to stand in the middle and you're like, girl, I gotta go pee. Just give me a minute. She runs in, pants slightly down, and skids into the room and proceeds to drag both baby and the walker, like the 2-year-old and the walker baby out. Like 2-year-old baby is literally like under the walker at some point, just being dragged away.
Dragged.
And never once does the father turn around. Hilarious.
Because you know why? Because he definitely had boxer shorts on and no pants. Because he's every person who works from home and has an interview and puts on a business like a suit and tie and has no pants on. Zero
No
pants.
pants on.
That's why he didn't get up.
And she literally skids, and then the part that just put the cherry on top of everything is drag the babies out, and then she reaches a desperate arm out, closes the door as if like maybe they didn't see me. It was literally everything. They could not have directed this better. Like I
No.
said, is this real? I thought it was a fake video at first. But
And once in a while, videos bring the world together. And this, I feel like, just made us all forget about our troubles for like the 5 minutes that we watched this video. And oh man.
Ooh, if you have not seen, honestly, you need to just Google BBC Kids or just it's everything. It's everything.
I wouldn't be Mandy if I didn't sprinkle some real talk on this, though, because there was some, what's funny is people's reaction to the video. There's been some stuff written about this, but I could tell it was a problem even before, because as soon as, so this group text I was talking about earlier, I shared, this is how the whole group texting kicked off last week. I shared this video, and then we couldn't agree, is it the nanny or the mom? My first thought was mom, okay? It looked like a mother, she looked like the babies or whatever. But then someone's like, I heard on the news she was the nanny. And then when I got to my office, I showed it to my two bosses, the co-founders of Magnify. One of them was like, "Oh, look, the Asian nanny," or no, the Asian housekeeper. And I was like, "What? What is this housekeeper thing?" So apparently, and I don't want to sound stupid, but I didn't realize that there's all these stereotypes on Asian women. One of my best friends had to school me on it. She's Vietnamese Chinese, and she was like, "Listen, people always think I'm the help sometimes. Like, apparently there's this stereotype that Asian women are like subservient,
Yeah,
docile. They're, you know,
I've heard
they.
that stereotype for sure. I've definitely heard that, but I didn't know
Okay.
that it was like that equated to the help.
So this was like a classic. So this was just like and if we, there was a test for humanity and whether we've gotten over that stereotype, we failed. Because definitely people were assuming that she was the nanny. And I even once I heard someone was like, "Oh, the news said it was the nanny." I was like, "Oh, okay. I guess she was running in kind of like her life, her job dependent on it." And I was like changing my own like instinct based on the news. So
Perception, yeah. Because when I saw her in, that was the run it to me. That was I don't know, like, because usually, healthcare professionals would be more like professional, basically. That was like the running of a frantic mom, like, yo, I was just trying to pee these daggone kids. I said the same right here, you know? It just because it was like, I don't know. I didn't think, like, I said, oh man, I know where he got off. You know, you can't see the hilarity in it when it was happening, but I know when he got off, it was like, oh my God, I just acted, oh, it's just peeing. The kids were right here.
He tweeted like, "Is this the kind of thing that goes viral?" Yes, sir.
Yes.
Sweet sir, sweet naive sir. You have no idea how famous your children will be for the rest of them life. Like, I'm jealous because they're gonna have this video to watch the rest of. They're gonna play this at their wedding, every
Yes.
graduation, their
Every
funeral.
boyfriend and
Like,
girlfriend this video, every single one of them.
this is gonna
It
be the
is gonna be
best.
a delight for life. Like, it was so cute because they interviewed, like I said, they interviewed the guy, the BBC guy's mom,
They
and she was like,
did? Where? I need to
yeah.
watch this.
No, I think it was just like it was a written interview. I didn't see the video, but they were asking her, like, you know, because that's how I knew. She said, you know, it's so cute, but I'm not surprised that she entered the room because that's where we Skype, because they live in Korea. The gentleman and his wife
Right.
live in Korea, and so they're used to Skyping. So she said she likely heard voices and was like, you know, mommy's in the bathroom, I hear voices, and you know, then this must be grandma and grandpa, because this is where we see them.
Oh,
So
okay, that's funny. Man, the media sure will go find some parents real quick. Oh, you're not gonna answer my phone call? Well, I'm gonna go find your mother. That's what the media does.
exactly.
Your
Exactly. So, I mean,
ex-girlfriend. Oh man.
oh, that
Well,
was delightful. It was a nice, lighthearted way to end the
it made us
NBA.
laugh. It made us think critically about our own, stereotypes. It was the perfect viral moment.
It was.
I hope they get on Ellen and get their own reality TV show. I'm sure it'll happen. They'll be
Right.
president one day. Why not?
I'm sure if they had been in America, they would have been on already. But they're like, oh, we're in Korea. We're not flying over there for now. We never know.
Was a good way. So, it's been nice knowing you, I guess. Sorry
Yeah,
about
so
you being buried in an avalanche tomorrow, but
you
we all
don't
got to
finish
go
all your stuff,
somehow.
right? And you happen to make it through, you know, I guess we'll talk to you guys next week.
I mean, we have enough banana muffins, so if you guys run out of food, we got banana muffins, we have Tostitos, all the essentials. Come on
Ooh.
over.
Meanwhile, we have like frozen pizza and some pot pies. Ooh, I bought chicken pot pies. I said, like, ooh, yes.
That sounds freaking delicious. Why have I not had
Now,
a pot pie in like 17 years?
I know. Neither. Meanwhile, I was just shopping and just being a fool.
Is
I
it
was like,
Marie
you know what?
Callender?
Yes!
That is my, well, not is, that was my jam. That was like, we had that for dinner for my entire childhood, I feel like. Stouffer's,
Yeah, so
Marie Callender. Mm-mm-mm.
I have never tried it. And I said, even though I'm on this whole, I'm trying to eat healthier, I was like, I
Girl, don't
mean,
read the nutrition label then.
I'm not.
You
I've
don't want to
decided
know what kind of sodium is in that.
I'm going to drink a lot of water with this.
That'll make up for it.
All right.
Godspeed. Good luck.
All right. Talk to you next
See
week.
you on the other side, I hope.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a PS to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the PS first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.